Today's Shir's a Masech the Tainus on Daf Vav. We will begin at the two dots in the middle of the fourth line at the top of the Yomid with the words Tana Rabbanan. The first part of our Daf today will discuss the etymology, the Shoresh of the word Yorah and Malkosh, as we find in the Pasuk in Kriya Shema, V'nasati Metar Artzechem Be'itoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises to give as a schar for doing mitzvahs, the rain in your land will come at the right time. Yore umalkosh. Yore refers to the first rains of the season, as we learned in yesterday's daf, and malkosh refers to the last rains of the season, and they will be given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'itoy at the right time. Now we begin our sugya. Tana Rabbanan, the Rabbanan have learned in a brisa, and we, since the word Yore, the Shoresh will change according to the different Pshatim that the Gemara tells us, and so also with the word Malkosh, we will be referring very much to Rashi as we go along in the Sugya. Yore, the first Pshat in the Gemara is Shemore es Habrios. And Rashi says that this means Ka'odom Shemore l'talmidov benachas. As it says in Kehelas, Divrei Chachamim benachas nishmoim. So, according to the first round of the Gemara, the root shoresh of the word Yore means that it instructs people, as we find in Kehelas that the words of Chachamim are said in a pleasant way. So, the rain is teaching in a pleasant way a few things to people. What is it teaching them? Lahatiach gagoseim, and it's teaching them to plaster their roofs, because the heavy rains of the winter are coming, the winter season is coming, and rain will go into their houses unless they make sure that it is plastered correctly. Ula, and Rashi also says that the word Yore, according to this first round of the Gemara, could come from the root of a chetz, an arrow, which is shooting something straight, and it does not turn one way or the other, and it is mechuvin to go to the ground, and it doesn't go in a turbulence, in a way of confusion with heavy winds. That is the lashon of Yor. It's going direct, straight, like an arrow that is shot to the ground to do the fruitful work that the rain is supposed to do on the ground. Continues the Gemara, the rain is instructing people, lahachnas as peroseim, also to bring in their peros that they have left out on the fields in order to dry. The lasso is called sarchen, and also to do everything that they need to do to prepare themselves for the winter season which approaches. Dover acher, another pshat in the word yore, shemar ve'esoretz. And here, the root of Yore comes from Resh Vav Hei, which means to saturate the earth. Umashke ara tohom. And it gives water until the depth, Shenemar. We find the word Yore used in this context, in a pasuk in Tehillim. Talameha, the furrows of the Charish, as Rashi explains, of Eretz Yisrael. Rave, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should saturate it with water, and then nachas gedudeo, this will be a nachas, this will be pleasant to all the bands of people who are waiting for that rain to saturate the earth. Bervivim temoigigena, with showers you should soften the earth. Tzimcha tevarach, and what grows out of the earth as a result of the rains, you should bless. Continues the Gemara Dover Acher, yet another understanding of the word Yore. Yore sheyored benachas. It comes down very gently. Ve'ena yored bezaf. It doesn't come down violently, as we mentioned before in Rashi. So all of these pshatim have given a positive concept of the word Yore. But now the Gemara, as Rashi explains, the way of a brisa is to search whether this is in fact the emes de kipshat in the pasuk, oyeino, he says the brisa, perhaps yore means elisha meisher es haperis. Perhaps it means that it removes the peiros. And then I will say that the pshat in Yorah means something else. Instead of being a brach, it's a klola, and as we find in Shmos Yutes, Rashi brings down the lashon of Yorah Yorah, that it makes something cast down, and everything becomes broken. Or Rashi says, like the destructive force of an arrow when it destroys something, when it kills something. So Rashi has a question over here. How could we say that this Yorah is destructive when the Torah is saying it as a reward, as a schar for mitzvos? V'nasati v'tar artzchem, if you're going to listen and do all my mitzvahs. So Rashi says that according to this interpretation that the Gemara says is a possibility, we would learn the pasuk differently. We would say HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael to do the mitzvahs. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not offering schar for the mitzvahs, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, in case you don't do the mitzvahs, then V'nasati v'tar artzchem b'ita yoru malkush, I will give destructive reins to break things and destroy things. As the Gemara continues, perhaps the pshat in Yorah is umashtev es hazroyim, umashtev es ha'elonis, that it's going to cause the seeds and also the trees to be washed away and the fruit to fall off the trees, to be cast down. And for the Gemara, this cannot be the pshat in Yorah. It cannot be destructive rains. It has to be good rains, because it says next to Yorah, Malkush, Talmud Loimer Malkush. And I learn out, Ma Malkush Lebracha, Af Yorah Lebracha. Just like Malkush represents good rains, as Rashi explains. Because we cannot say that Malkush would mean in any way to break the granaries or to remove payrois, because at the time that the Malkush comes, we do not have at that time fruits and granaries. It's too early in the season to have granaries that are full of grain and to have full-grown fruits on the tree. So the only way I can explain the word malkosh is for good. Now, what does the word malkosh mean? It's two words that are put together, a contraction, and it means mal melilois, that it means the tops of the grains, as we're going to see later in the Gemara, which one rubs in one's hands. It means the ears of corn. And what is the malkosh? The end of the word stands for the caution for the stalks. So that's the only way I could learn the word malchus in a positive way. So ma malchus lebracha, af yorah lebracha, yorah is also lebracha. But then the Gemara says, oh yeah, or maybe malchus itself is not positive. Elisha mapalas about them, it knocks down the houses, umeshaber esilonois, and it breaks the trees. And Rashi explains, maybe mol, the word malkush will be a contraction of two words. One is mol, it cuts, like a bris milah, and malkosh means from the word kosher. It breaks down the houses and the trees, and it's also kosher l'tvua, as the Gemara continues, umalas askoyin. Rashi explains, skoyin are locust, and Rashi found a pasuk in Dvorim Chavches, where the Targum translates hatzlotzel, which is a type of locust, sakor. So therefore, malkush will be lashon arba, will be locust. So therefore, it's mol, it cuts down the houses and the trees, and kosh, which means it brings locusts, so it's not good, it's kosher for the trees as well. So perhaps malkush itself is negative. As Tosfos, the top Tosfos, Tzorachin, Amai lo kamar mishabra gronos umeshir es haperes kelil. Why didn't the Gemara say that it destroys the granaries and removes the fruits? Maybe that's what the word malkush means. On this, Rashi has already answered the Chayra Taisus Kasha. Rashi says at the time when the malkush falls, we do not yet have the granaries that are full and the full-grown fruits, and therefore it cannot mean that negative connotation. Rather, the Gemara has to say it means that it cuts down the houses. And then Rashi says that this is five lines before it gets wide. Umashmoy kidlakaman, as the Gemara is going to soon say, Shemol kushiyason shal Yisrael, that it when if Klal Yisrael does not get this malkosh, then they fast, they do tshuva, and it breaks down the hardness of Klal Yisrael. That's what the word Malkosh means. Or in the context of the houses, it means Shemol Dover Akasha, Chaytech Meshaber Sabbatim. So the Gemara is saying perhaps Malkosh is a negative. Talmud Leimer, Yaira. So then I bring a proof that there is Yaira rain. Ma Yaira Lebracha of Malkosh Lebracha. Just like Yaira is a bracha, Malkosh is also a bracha. And the Gemara says, so you're spinning around. You're going in circles. You're saying, what's the Raya Yaira is a bracha Malkosh? Then how do I know Malkosh is a bracha from Yaira? The Yaira Gufa Menol, and how do I know Yaira itself is Lebracha? Because it says in the Pasuk, which we learned in yesterday's Daf, that after the Rav, that was in the days of Yehoram ben Achav, when the Rebbeinu Shalom made a number of Nisim, as we learned in yesterday's Sugya, the Pasuk says in Yoel, Perek Beis, B'nei Tzion, Gilu v'simchu b'Hashem l'keichem, you should rejoice in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Ki nas l'chem es hamore l'tztaka. He has given to you that rain l'tztaka, he's going to bring down for you rain, both Moira and Malkosh, even though usually Moira is in Mar Cheshvan, as we're going to learn in the next piece of Gemara. And Malkosh is in Nisan, but Moira is earlier. However, in that year, when the 7 years of hunger ended, the Moira and the Malkosh were both done in Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So since we see that Moira Litztaka, so Rashi says, Alma Yora Latova. We see that the word Yora means Latova. So Hu Adin, the Malkosh, which is said next to the Yor, will also be Latova. Tana Rabbanon, the Rabbanon have learnt in a Braisa, Yor v'Mar Cheshvan, Malkosh v'Nisan. The first rains come in Mar Cheshvan. They're called Yora. And the last rains of the season come in Nisan, and they're called Malkosh. Ato Emer Yor b'Mar Cheshvan, Malkosh b'Nisan. You're telling me that Yor is in Mar Cheshvan, Malkosh is in Nisan. No, Yeno, or perhaps El Yor b'Tishrei. Maybe Yor is earlier in Tishrei, or Malkosh be, or Malkosh will come a month later in the year. Talmud Lomer, the Pasuk says, no, be'itoy, at the right time. And the right time is when the Tvua grows, and that is in Chodesh Nisan. Now, what was the Havamina that it should be in ears? So Rashi says, Sheyesh Adayin Melilas V'Kashin, because you still have ears of corn and stalks. So I would say perhaps that ear should be considered the time of Yora. So that's why the Torah has to tell you, Be'itoy, that the right time for it to come is in Nisan. Continues the Gemara, Malkosh, Amar Rav Nei Loi, Bar Iri Amar Shmuel. What does the word Malkosh mean? Davar Shemol, Kishir Yisein Shal Yisrael, something that cuts down the hardness of Klal Yisrael, as Rashi explains, because when Eino Yoyreid, Kishir Eino Yoyreid, Rashi says the fifth wide line, Chayzer Yisrael B'tshuva, they're Chayzer B'tshuva, Mis'anen, they fast, V'oisen Stokas, they give Stokas. So Mimela, that's why it's called Malkosh. When it doesn't come, that's what Klal Yisrael does. The Bei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, we learned in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, Dover Shememala Tfua B'Kosheah. The word Malkosh means that the rain causes that Tfua should become full in its stalks. The Masnis and the Brisa Tana, we learned another pshat in the word Malkosh. Dover Shiyarid Al HaMalilis V'Alakosh, something that comes down on the ears of corn and on the stalks. Mol, ears of corn, kosh, on the cushion, on the stalks. Tana Rabbanon, Yarbu Marcheshvan, Malkosh ben Nisan. Yarbu comes in Marcheshvan, Malkosh comes in Nisan. Ato, I'm a Yarbu Marcheshvan. You say that Yarbu comes in Marcheshvan, or Yen El Bechodish Kislev, maybe comes in the month of Kislev. Talmud, as we're going to see later, that the Rabbanan in fact hold this Shita, that Malkosh, in fact, that Yor in fact comes in Chodesh Kislev. That is the Shita of the Chachamim. And Rabbi Yossi, as we're going to see in the next Sugya. So maybe that's correct. So this Brisa disagrees and says, no, Talmud Loimer Be'itoy, that it has to come in the right time. Be'itoy Yoyro Malkosh, it puts Yoyro together with Malkosh. Ma Malkosh Be'itoy, just like Malkosh has to come Be'itoy, as Rashi explains, because Malkish means it's going on to Melilus and Kushin. And when do you have Melilus and Kushin? That's Nissan, Sheesh by Kushin and Melilus. You have the ears of corn and the stalks. So just like Malkish must mean in Nissan, Beitoi, so to Yorub means Beitoi. It means in Marcheshvan and not in Kislev. Af Yorub Beitoi. And then in parentheses we have Kivin Shiyotz and Nissan. Once Nissan went down, went out, ended, the Yorduk Shab and rain came down, ain't a Simon Bracha, it's not a Simon Bracha. So the Rabbi Shai pick here in the Hagor on the side brings the Marsha, that the Marsha says that we're not goyrus these words here, and there are those who are goyrus it earlier in the Gemara, when we had before in the Sugya, that perhaps it means ear. The Gemara had a half a minute that perhaps Yora is in the ear, Oy Ein Oy Ella Yor B'Tishrei U'Malkush B'Ear, which is 6 lines from after where the Amud gets wide. So over there, Tamad Loimer B'Itoy, and following the word B'Itoy, then what we have here in the parenthesis was said, that the Pasuk is being Megala, that B'Itoy in the right time is Nissen. What about ear? No, because Kiv and Shiyotz Nissen, V'yorduk Shavim, that's not a Simon Bracha. So the Marsha says, perhaps Rugara said earlier when the Gemara had a Havamina about ear. The reason we're not Gemara said here would be that this Brisa only has a Havamina that Yora could be in Kislev. Because if it's in Kislev, it means the rain is coming late. It's coming in the season. It should have started Marcheshvan. It's coming a little late. It's coming in Kislev. So that I would have had a Havamina that maybe those rains in Kislev are called Yor as well. So on that, I have to tell you Be'itoy. However, this second Brisa doesn't have a Havamina that ear should be included. That was only the other Brisa earlier in the Gemara. But our Brisa doesn't have a Havamina. Why? Because if it comes in ear, it's coming too late. The end of the season is Nissan. Bishloim in Kislev, so it's coming a little late because the season started in Marcheshvan, but it's still the season in Kislev. So I would have had a Havamina. But the Brisa here has no Havamina that the ear is. So therefore the Marsha says, we're not Goyrus, Kivin Shiyotz Nissen V'Yorduk Shom Enisim and Bracha, because this Brisa doesn't even entertain the possibility that ear should be included. However, perhaps it fits in earlier where the Gemara apparently did have a Havamina means ear, and from the word Be'itoi, they learned out that it's not called Be'itoi, because once Nissen ends, any rain after that is not a Simon Bracha. Tan Yedek, we learned on a different Brisa. Yor b'marcheshvin u'malkish b'nissen. That Yor is a marcheshvin, u'malkish b'nissen, divi Rameir. These are the words of Rameir. V'chacham disagree, and they say, Yor b'kislev, that Yor is in Kislev, which was Gufa, a Havamina that we had before in the Sugya. And the Gemara said that that's not included because it says Be'itoy. But in fact, Rabbi the Chachamim, and as we're going to see now, which is Rabbi Yossi, Man Chacham Ram, Rabbi Chizd Rabbi Yossi, this is Rabbi Yossi, the Chacham, who is Rabbi Yossi, they hold that Kislev, in fact, is Yoreb. The Sani we learned in Abraisa, Ezri, Revi Rishayna, what is considered the first rains of the season, and we're going to see on Ahmed Bey's why those rains are called Revi'a, but when is the first Revi'a? So the Gemara, in the Brisa divides it into 3 sections, that the first rains actually have 3 parts. The oldest part, the middle part, and the youngest part. Habach, here where the oldest part is Bishloish of Marcheshvan. Starts coming down the 3rd of Marcheshvan. Beinon is Bishivaboy. The middle rain of the first rains is on the 7th of Marcheshvan. Afelo, Rashi says, means Achroina. The last rains, Bishivaboy, is on the 17th of Marcheshvan. Divri Rab Meir. Rab Yehuda, I'm a Rab Yehuda, disagrees, and he says that the first rains are Bishiva. The middle rains are Ubi Yud Zayin. And the final rains, the Afela, is Ube Esra Mishloisha, the 23rd of Marcheshvan. And a 3rd sheet is Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Aymer, the first rains of the Revi Rishayna are Ubi Yud Zayin on the 17th of Marcheshvan. The middle rains are Ube Esra Mishloisha, are on the 23rd. And Ube Rosh Chodesh Kislev, the 3rd. The last Afela ones are on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And we'll see later in the Gemara why we need these 3 different sections of the Revi Roshana. Each one has its own uniqueness and its own significance. V'chein hoy Rabbi Yosi Omer, and so said Rabbi Yosi, ein hayechid de misanin, ad sheyegi Rosh Chodesh Kislev. The Gemara later is going to say that it's important to know when the third rain is third section of the Revi'i Rishon is supposed to come, because that if the rain did not fall by the time the third section is supposed to come, the Yechidim, which means the Chasidim, the Anshei Mala of Eretz Yisrael, they would begin to fast. And Rav Yaisi says that since I hold that the third section of the Revi'i Rishayna does not begin until Rosh Chodesh Kislev, therefore the Yechidim, the Chasidim, are not Mesana until Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So therefore, when the Brisa said before, Chachamim Oimrim Yoyra B'Kislev, what the Chachamim is Rav Yaisi, and what Rav Yaisi means is that the end of the Revi'i Rishayna, when Chasidim would have to fast, is on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. The halacha is in fact like this third sheet, not like Rabbi Meir, not like Rabbi Yehuda, but it is like Rabbi Yosi. Rashi brings down that although we have a mission further in Daf Yud, Higia Yud Zayin B'Marcheshbin V'lo Yordu K'shom Hischila Yechidim L'Sanois, that the Yechidim begin to fast on the 17th of Marcheshvan, says Rashi, that's a Stamas Nisan. We know Stam Mishnah is Rav Meiri, so this fits with Rav Meir Shita. You always begin to fast, the Yechidim begin to fast on the third section of the Revi'i Rishayna. According to Rav Meir, the first section of Revi'i Rishayna is the third of Marcheshvan, the Beinan is the seven, and the Afela Shivasar. So the Stam Mishnah on Daf Yud Amid Aleph that says that you begin to fast on the 17th is going according to Stam Mishnah Rav Meir. But halacha l'maisa, we pasuk like Rabbi Yosi that the Yechidim do not begin to fast until the 23rd. A Meimer masni l'hod Rav Chizda b'holishner. A Meimer had a different text of what Rav Chizda said in Nageya Ar Sugya. B'shloisha b'marcheshvin shoylen sakshav. On the 3rd of Marcheshvin, one asks for the rain. Rav Gamliel Omer b'shiva boy. Rav Gamliel says the 7th. Amar Rav Chizda halach Rav Gamliel. The halach is like Rav Gamliel. So Rashi says that there's a girsa here that said in the first way Rav Chizda is recorded, Amar Rav Chizda halach k'Rav Yehuda, not halach k'Rav Yosi, because if we're going to maintain the girsa the way we have it in our Gemara, halach Rav Yosi, it would seem that the two halachas stated in the name of Rav Chizda are soiser one another. Because if the halachas are Rav Yosi, then it means that you have the three sections divided between 17, 23rd, and Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And then Rav Chizda, according to Maimer's version, says B'shiva boy, that's when you begin to shoyl in Esek Shom on the 7th. So he, L'chair, is going like Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda before divided the three sections into Shiva, Yudzayin, and Esher V'Shloisha, 7, 17, and 23rd. So it would seem that he's possibly now like Rabbi Yehuda, which is compatible with Rav Gamliel. It'll be a stira. So according to the way Rashi has the years, it works out very well. If we're garis in the first version of Rav Chizda, that Amr Rav Chizda Alach Rav Yehuda, then Amemer said it's a little different. He said Alach Rav Gamliel, but the two Shitas are saying mamish the same thing, that you start from Zion. However, the Karen Ira says, and he says this pshat in the Rambam, that we can be miyashev and leave the gears to the way we have it in our Gemara. Halacha k'Rav Yosi, that the cycle is 17, 23, and Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And yet halacha k'Rav Gamliel, that you're shoylin as like shom from Shiva boy. Says the Karen Ira, because those two halachas are not necessarily the same. It could be einach nami, that the first section of the Revi'i Rishayna is Yud Zayin. However, we always are Magdim the Refuah before the Makkah. We taka want the rains to fall, the first section of the Revi'i Rishayna to fall on Yud Zayin. We start being Mispalel 10 days before on Zayin. We have the Oilu Regolovar coming back from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Lords. We have to give them time to travel, so we can begin davening that on the 7th. We start davening. We're shoyal, like Rav Gamliel says, on the 7th. And what is our bar kasha? That the first rain should actually fall on Yud Zayin, and that will be miyashiv, which would seem to be a steer in the Rambam, because the Rambam passes like Rabbi Yossi, that the Revi Rishayna, the Bechora of the Revi Rishayna, the Bechira, the first reigns of the first section of reigns of the Yorah is on Yud Zayin, and yet he passes like Rambam Gamaliel, that Shailon is like Shamim on the Shiva boy. The answer is, it should fall on the 17th, and we should ask for it on the 7th. Continues the Gemara, Kiman Azla, Hadesanya, according to whom in the three-way machlokes that we just had, between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yud, and Rabbi Yossi, does the following brisa go? Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel says, Gisham Mishiyardu Shivas Yom Zechazet, Atamayna Ben Revia Rishayna Ushniya Ushlishis. If rains fall in Mar Cheshvan, 7 days, one day after the other, you can count them for, and we're going to learn the Gemara as follows, Revia Rishayna Vishniya, Oy Shniya Vishlishis. It doesn't mean you can count them for three sections of the Revi Rishayna, but rather, if you have a 7 day in a row cycle of rain, that can count for two of the sections of the three sections of the Revia. It can either count for the first and second sections, or it can count for the second and third sections. Keman, who's this going like Rabbi Yossi? As Rashi explains, it cannot go according to Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda, because they do not have consistently the number 7, which Rabbi Yossi does. Let's start with Rabbi Yossi. Why does Rabbi Yossi have consistently the number 7? Because Rabbi Yossi says that the Bechira, the first section of the Revi Rishayna, is on the 17th of Mar Cheshvan. The Beinonis is 23rd, and the Afela is Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Explains Rashi that if you go from the 17th through the 23rd, and you count both days when the rain fell, from the beginning of the rain till the end of the rain, you'll have 7 days. If you go from the 23rd to Rosh Chodesh Kislev, you also have 7 days. Actually, Luchari, you have 8 days. Let's count it out. 23, 24, 25, 26, 27 is 5 days already. 28, 29 is 7 days. And it's never less, a Jewish month is never less than 7 days. The earliest Rosh Chodesh would be is on the 30th day, and he goes with Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Chayritz 8 days. So Rashi answers that you can get the number 7. Here you in the case of 17 and 23, you got the number 7 by counting both 17 and 23. Here by 20, the third day of Mar Cheshvan and Rosh Chodesh Kislev, you'll get it by not counting the 8th day. You'll have from the beginning of the rain until that day which the rain ended, you'll have 7 days. It's a little doichik of a pshat. And therefore, perhaps the Rabbeinu Chananel's pshat is better in this regard. Rabbeinu Chananel says it doesn't mean that the rain started the first second of the 23rd day and ended the last second of Rosh Chodesh Kislev, which would be a total of 8 days. But rather, it began in the middle of the 23rd day. So the first day is going from the 23rd day of Mar Cheshvan till the 24th, those 24 hours. If you go with 7 24-hour segments, you wind up the 7th day, the 7th 24-hour segment comes out to end on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So if it started, let's say, 10 a.m. on the 23rd of Mar Cheshvan, it will end at 10 a.m., on Rosh Chodesh Kislev, you'll have a total of 7 periods of 24 hours. So that's how Rabbeinu Chananel learns. But either way, whether it's from the first to the second section, or whether it's from the second to the third section, you have the number 7. So it can count as two of the three sections. However, according to Rabbi Meir, it Bechlal has no shaychus with 7. Because according to Rabbi Meir, the first section is the third of Cheshvan. The Beinonis is 7, from 3 to 7, even if you count the first day and the last day, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you have a total of 5 days. If you count in between, you have 4 days or 3 days, you don't have 7. And if you go from the Beinonis to the Afela, from the 7th of Cheshvan to the 17th, you have, depending on how you count it, 10 days, 11 days. You don't have 7. So according to Rabbi Meir, you bechlal have no shaychus with 7 days. According to Rabbi Yehuda, If you go from the Bechira to the Beinonis, he goes from 7th of Marcheshvan to 17th of Marcheshvan. You have 10 or 11 days in between. If you, then, Einich Nami, Rashi says, if you go from the Beinonis to the Afela, 17 and 23, so you have the same 17 and 23 that Rabbi Yossi starts with. So you would have 7 there, but you don't have 7 consistently. And we learned in our sugya that 7 days in a row can count for both Rishona Vishniya and also for Shniya Vishlishis. How do you get a number 7 to work out both for the first 2 and also for the last 2? The answer is, come on, Rabbi Yossi. That can only work out according to Rabbi Yossi, Rashi's Pshat, and Rabbeinu Hananel's Pshat, as we mentioned before. But somehow we can arrive to the number 7. And therefore, it will count as 2 of the 3 sections. Amar Rav Chizda said, Halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. The halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara now wants to know, why do you need all of these 3 sections in the Revi'a Rishayna? Says the Gemara, Bishlam Revi'a Rishayna Lishal. The first rain, actual, when it starts, we have to either be mispalel on that day, or as we explained before from the Karen Oira, we have to misspell that that's the day when it should begin to rain. I start davening on the 7th, let's say, but I want it to start raining on the 17th. Shlishis, the third section of the Revi'i Rishayna, Lisanais. We have to know when the Yechidim have to be Misana. As Rashi explains, the last 3 words on the Amid of Rashi, Sheini v'chamishi v'sheini, they fast, tainis bahab, beis hey beis, Monday, Thursday, and Monday. In other words, that Rosh day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev, whenever that day falls, and if the rain hasn't come by that time, then the following Monday, followed by Thursday, followed by the next Monday, the Yechidim will be Misanet. So I know why I have to have a first section and a third section. But Shneel Lamai, what do I have to have a second section? Amar Rav Zeira said, Rav Zeira, l'nedorim, it's going to be Nagayan Nedorim. This time we learned in a Mishnah in the Sechta Nedorim as we turn to Dav Vav Amad Beis, Hanoidir Ad Hakshamim. If somebody says, as Rashi, the top Rashi tells us, the Amar Koinem Im Enem Idover Zeh Ad Hakshamim. I'm not going to have anor from someone until it begins to rain. And so when is it considered that it begins to rain? And now the Bach says that the correct text based on the Mishnah in the Dorim is Ad Sheyug Shamim. Or he said, until there will be rains, in the plural. So the halacha is Ad Sheterid Revi Yishniya. He means that he's also to have anor from his friend until the second section of the rains come down. That, because by Nedorim you go after Lashem B'nei Adam, and what people mean to say when they say rains, they mean until the second section of these rains come down. If we go like Rabbi Yossi, it would mean the 23rd of Marcheshvan. Rashi says, why do people associate the second section with Lashon of Nedorim? So Rashi says, because Gishamim is a plural. So you don't want just the first section, you want the second section as well. Another Pshat Rashi says, is because people don't look at rain until you have it twice. The first time it's uncomfortable, it's annoying perhaps to be caught in the rain, but the streets do not become full of mud. They do not become unpassable. When do they come, as Rashi's Losh is, Mikul Kolois Hadrachim, Umausais, when they become disgusting and ruined, that is only by the second rain which follows the first rain. So when a person says, I'm also to have enough from you until the rains come down, he means Ad Sheterid Revi Yishniya. So that's why I have to know this, that's why we have to have this second section for Nedorim. Rav Zvid Omar, Rav Zvid said, it comes Negeya other halachas, Lezesim. It comes Negeya when an usher is allowed to take Matnas Aniyim, things that the Torah gave over to Aniyim. When can any person take olives? This now we learned in a Mishnah in Masechta Shviyas. Me'emes I call Adam Matorim Beleket, Bishikl V'peyah. When can any person, even an usher, a filo ashirim, Rashi says, when are they mutter to take leket? Leket is when 1 or 2 sheaves fall down during the harvest, which are given over to the aniyim, or shikl, when certain stocks were forgotten to be harvested, given over to the aniyim. U'bepeyah, a corner of one's field that is given over to the aniyim. When do I say that everyone is miyayish to get these crops because they think that the aniyim must have already removed the leket, the shikha, and the peyah. Mishayelchu an amushais, when did the mushais means the rummagers, those, as we'll see, old people who have all the time in the world and are very slowly able and meticulously able to go through things and see if there's any leket, shikha, or peyah. Once they have gone through a field, then it's hefker, then anyone else can't, because everybody's miyayish from it. They say mistama the aniyim got it, and if the aniyim, the nemush, has left it over, then anybody can take it. That's the halacha about leket, shikha, peyah. What about beperet the boilers? Peret is grapes which fell during the harvest. Oilless are not regular growing clusters of grapes on the tree that are also in the vines that are also given over to the aniyim. The halacha is, when can anybody take it? Mishayelchu aniyim bekerem, when the aniyim go through the kerem, through the vineyard, viyavoyu, and they come back. They go through it once, and they come back a second time. So everybody gives up. Once the aniyim went through two times, back and forth, then everybody's miyash, then even the ashirim can take. What about bezeisim olives? Mishateirin reviyashniyah. Once the reviyashniyah has gone down, then anyone can go ahead and take it. And the reason is because by that time we say that certainly everything has been removed, and Rashi says the ada hishaita loktu akol. By the time the revia shnia, the second section of the rains have come down, then everything has already been taken. If there is anything left, it is hefker, and anyone, even an usher, can take it. So the halacha, why do I have a second section of the first rains, it's negeh, the halacha of when a rich person can take olives. My nemushas, the Gemara wants to know, what exactly does the word nemushas mean? Rabbi Yechon said, sabi, old people, the azli atigra, they go on canes. As Taisa says, they rest on these canes, and they have time. They can go, as Rashi says, benachas uma'ayne tvei, and they can look very meticulously if there's anything there. Once they've gone through, anything that remains is hefker, and anyone can pick it up. That is the pshat of Rabbi Yochanan. Rosh Lakish Amar, Rosh Lakish says it means something else. Lekute, baser lekute. There's a team, a father and a son. First, the old man, the father, goes through it, and then he is followed by his younger son. Anything the father may have skipped, the son picks it up. Once the lekute, baser lekute, the gatherers after the gatherers, the son after the father, have gone through the field, it becomes hefker, and anyone can take it. There is a very beautiful sefer of Pirushim on Pirkei Avos, on Torah, called Lekute Basa Lekute, and of course it comes from this very Gemara, the name. Rapapa Amar Kedei Lahalach B'Shvilei HaRishus. Ezra was Mesakin Tent HaKadosh Legabi, the land of Eretz Yisrael, which were on behalf of the people, the Rabbim, when they could take advantage of a yochid's property. And one of the halachas which had the sanction of Bezdin was Shvilei HaRishus, that people could, the rabbim could take a shortcut through someone's field if the crops had already been harvested. The Amar Mar, we have learned, Mahalchum Kalada B'Shvilei HaRishus, until when can everyone go through these permitted by Bezdin, Rishus of Bezdin, in these paths, Achetereid Revishnia, until the second rain comes down, and after the second rain comes down, Rashi says that from then on already the Tvua has begun to grow, and it is not good for the Tvua that people will be stepping on the Tvua, and then it is Osir, there is no Rishus for people to walk on these paths. And that's why we have to know, and we have to have Halach of Revishnia. My time, Chetera Viyashniyah, continues the Gemara, Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, it's Nageya, the Reviyashniyah, another halacha, halacha of Shvias. Levi or Perishvias, a person has to remove from his house Perishvias. That's not what we learned in a Mishnah in Mesachta Shvias. Admosai Nen in Visarf, Betavin Vakash, how long can a person have a gnaw and burn stubble or straw, shel Shvias of Shvias, which grew either Svichim, Rashi explains, these were crops that grew by themselves from seeds that fell into the ground, or they were crops that were seeded in the sixth year of Shemitah, but they did not grow until the seventh year of Shemitah after the normal crops had been harvested. So the person is allowed to have anoah and burn it, but he's only allowed to do it acheteret revishniyah, until the second rain, the second section of the first rains have come down, because then it becomes part of zevel, Rashi says. It becomes like manure for the fields. It becomes not edible for animals. And the Torah says, my time, and what is the reason? The Chassid says in the Torah, how long can you have the pears or shvis in your house and have a noah from it? Ulevehem techolachai asher b'artzecha, for your behemah and for the animal that is in the field, for the wild animals. Kolz man shechai ochels besada hachel behem techo. The Torah puts together the behemah with the chaya. How long can your domestic animal have food in the house from Peres Shvius? As long as the chaya, the wild animal outside, is eating from your field, then you can give to your own behemah in your house. But kolo l'chayim min asada. But if it has ended for the chaya in the field, which we said is by the time of Revi'ah Shniya, kalei l'vehemtecha min habayis, then you have to do an action to destroy, to stop your animal from eating this in the house. And on this we have a machlokes, the Rambam, Keneged, the Ravid, and the Ramban, and other Rishonim, what exactly a person is supposed to do in this regard. The Rambam says that once this happens, we have Revi'ah Shniya, then a person can give from his field, Mazon Gimel Sudas, he can give three meals worth to anyone to eat from the field, and then he has to destroy all the rest of the Peres. However, the other Rishonim say what a person has to do in this situation is be mafker all he should make ownerless all his teven and kash, his straw and stubble, and then once he has made it hefker, he can reacquire it from his field and use it. Amar Rav Avuha, my Lashon Revi'ah. Now the Gemara explains exactly what is this Lashon Revi'ah that we have had associated with rain. Normally the word Revi'ah refers to animals living together, animal copulation. What does that have to do with a rain and a field? Davar Shareveya Es HaKarka, something that penetrates the karka. Kidur Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yehuda, Mitra, rain, Balo D'Aruhu, is the husband of the ground. Shenamar, the Pasuk says, Ki kasha yered ageshem hashalach, just like rain and snow fall down in a shemayim from heaven, Vishama lo yashu, will not return to heaven, Ki im hirva es oretz, unless it has saturated, until such time as the rain has accomplished its mission of saturating the earth with water, Veholida, and making the ground give birth, Vehitzmicha, and making it grow produce. So we see that the lashon of rain in association with karka is one of a husband who causes his wife to give birth. The Amar Rabbi Avua said, Ravi Rishayna Kidesha Terid Bakarka Tavak. What is considered the first section of the rains? When it enters into the ground, a tefach deep. It has saturated the ground, a tefach deep. Shniya, kidei logof ba pichavis. When the ground is so soft because of the rain that one can take the mud and from it, he can make from the soft earth, he can make it a cover for an open barrel. Amar Rav Chisda, gisham mishyardu kidei logof ben pichavis, ein ben mishum va'atzar. There is a punishment in the Torah which is called Va'atzer Sashemayim, as Rashi brings down, that I will close the heavens and I will not allow any rain to come down. But if a person received enough rain so that the ground is soft and pliable enough that he can make from it a cover for the barrel, then he knows that he is not receiving the punishment of Va'atzer Sashemayim. V'yomer Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda said, Gisham Mishayardu Kaidim Va'atzer, if a person was saying Krishma, and before he said the words in the Krishma Va'atzer Shemayim, the rain came down. So he has not received the punishment of Va'atzer. Amar Abai, said Abai. Abai qualifies this statement of Rav Chisda. Lo yamor, and when do we say Rav Chisda's statement, Elo Koydim Va'atza De'urta? That's only if the rain fell before he said Kriya Shema at night, before he sang the nightly Va'atzar. That means that it fell during the rain, which is the good time for rain to fall. Avol Koydim Va'atza De'tzafra. But if the rain fell before he said Kriya Shema in the morning, in Tzafra, before the Va'atzar of the morning, Yeshva Mishra Va'atzar, because then when is the rain falling? At night. That is not the good time for the crops for the rain to fall, and therefore it could be he is receiving the punishment of Va'atzar, even though the rain fell during the night. The Amar of Yehuda Bar Yitzchak, Yehuda Bar Yitzchak said, Hani Anani the Tzafra, these clouds of the morning, Lesbu Mashasha, they are very weak clouds and they don't have any significance. The Chsiv, as we find the Pasuk in Hosea, Mo'eselcha Ephraim, what should I do to you, Ephraim? Mo'eselcha Yehuda, what should I do to you, Yehuda? V'chazdechem your chesed. Ka'anam Boker has no significance, it has no depth. It's not like heavy covers, it's like the morning fluffy clouds which dissipate. So we see that rain that's coming from these thin clouds have no significance. And one would be receiving the onish of Va'atzar even though it rained at night. Amar Rapapa Labaya. Rapapa asked the question on this Tabaya of Amri Inshi. People say the following expression, B'miftach Bavi, if the gates open, and what do you find in the morning when the gates open in heaven? Mitra, there is rain. Bar Chamra, you a donkey driver, Moich Sakot, fold up your sack that you use as a pillow, Vigani, and go to sleep, because you're not going to sell anything. People already are going to have an abundance of produce, and they won't need any of your wares. So you see that the morning clouds and rain are beneficial. The more answers, Loikasha, ha, de kater be'iva. When there were thick clouds, then the rain is beneficial, even if it comes at night. Here they're speaking about when it rains at night and one could be receiving the punishment of Va'atzar. We're speaking about thin clouds. Thin clouds are not beneficial. The donkey driver does not have to go to sleep because the people will not have so much produce. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Tava L'shata, it's good for a year, the Tevis Armalto, when Tevis is a widow. What does that mean? When there is no rain during Tevis, it's good. Ikedi Amri, some say, why is this so? Diloi Bairi Tarbitze. Rashi says, Tarbitze is ois, four lines after gets wide. Oisum Mekoim is those places. Shemar Bitze Medi Torah, where Torah is spread out, it's learned. Einam Bairis, they're not empty. Mnei Shadrachim Yafanein, there's good highways. The highways have not become ruined. V'holchna Tamidim, Imakul Makul, Lul Torah. So the Tamidim are able to go from one place to another to learn Torah. So that's why it's good when Tevis is an armleton without rain. And some say the Leshakel Shudfana, because when do heavy winds cause fruits to get damaged? That's only if the fruit is wet. But if the fruit is dry, then heavy winds do not cause damage to the fruit. So therefore, if Tevis is dry, the heavy winds of Tevis will not cause damage to the fruit. Asking Morakasha Aini, is this so? Vomer of Chizda said, Tava l'shata, it's good for the year, the Tevis from the Valta, when Tevis is disgusting, when it's muddy, and when there's a lot of rain, that makes the ground muddy. And before you said it's better that Tevis has no rain, and for more like Hasha, this is not difficult. Hadasa mitra mi'ikara. When is it bad to have rain during Tevis? That's if there was enough rain before. So now the rain is making the ground muddy, then it's not good. But here it's speaking about there was no rain before, and now finally in Tevis you got rain, so then it's very beneficial that there is rain. The Yom Reb Chizda, then Reb Chizda also said, Gisham Mashir Adu Al Mixis Medina, if rain fell on part of a country, Val Mixis Medina Lo Yardu, and on the other part of the country it did not fall, Ein Bahen Mishum Va'atzar, there is no fulfillment of the Onesh of Va'atzar. Ein Yimor says, is that so? Voksiv. V'gam anoichim, and Rashi explains, why is there no Va'atzar? Because the part of the country that had rain and that has produce will be able to sell to the part that didn't have. So it's not so gefährlich if one part of the country did not have rain. Eini is that so, voksiv, it says in the Pasuk, in Amos, V'gam anoichim anati mechemes hageshem, Hashem says that I held back from you the rain. V'oid shloshe chadashim, for 3 months. L'katsa, while there were 3 months of up to the harvesting. In other words, it was 3 months before the harvest was to take place, where you need a lot of rain, and for 3 months before the harvest, there was no rain. And also Hashem says, "Vimtarti al irachas val irachas lo yamter." I gave rain on one city, on one city it did not give rain. Chelkachas temater. One portion of the country will have rain there, and one portion will not have rain. V'amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav, and Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Shtein leklal. Not only is it a klal on the section that did not have rain, but even on the section that did have rain, it's also a klal. So here you see that it's not good if one half of the country has rain and the other half does not. They're both a klal, and here you tell me there's no va'atzar if one half had rain and one half didn't. Like Kasha. Hadasa tu va'adasa k'nebe boile. If there's too much rain, then enechanami, it's both are a klal. The half that didn't have rain has drought, the other half had too much. Then it's a klal for both. But if on the part that had rain it was the exact amount they needed, then it's very good, as Rashi explains, because this half of the country can sell to the other half. So the one half had drought, but since the other half had the exact amount of rain that they needed, they have good produce and they can sell it to the other half. So there is no kiyum of the onesh of the otzer. Ravashi. Ravashi said, Dekanami, I'll prove to you also that what? That in the case of Amois, that there were two Oinshim on both sections of the country, Dechsif Timoter. On one Chelk, it says Timoter, it will cause rain, says, explains the Gemara, Tehei Mokamoter. It doesn't mean just that the rain will fall, but the place will become saturated with rain. It'll be timoter, it'll become a mukam of mutter, a place of rain. And the mail will be too much rain, mail it's a klala even on that half of the country which received rain. Shmami, no, this indeed is a very good proof. And when do you make a brach on rain? As Rashi brings down from the Gemara and Brachas Daf Nun Dalet, on rain we make the bracha Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hatov Ameitiv. As the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Reish Chaf Aleph Sif Aleph explains, that in a country like Eretz Yisrael, which very often has problems with having enough rain, as we are aware of even in our own time, so when rain, the first rains fall, it is a time of joy for many people, and Memeila, the Brach of Shechiyonu is not said, Toivu Meitiv, indicating that this is a Tova for many people, is said. The Gemara wants to know exactly at what point would one make that bracha. So the Gemara says, "Me'im esav bracha l'agsham v'shiyetzei chosin likras kala." And Rashi gives two pshatim here. One pshat is that there's already a puddle of water on the ground, so that the rain that falls into the puddle causes water that's in the puddle to jump up, and that's considered like a chosin who, when the kala comes down to the chuppah, the chosin takes a few steps out to greet the kala. That is like the rain at the bottom and the puddle is jumping up to greet the kala that is coming down from heaven. Or Rashi says a pshat, there's so much rain that in the streets there are already little rivulets, little tributaries of water, and one tributary of water is flowing into the other tributary of water, and they're meeting each other like chosin who's going out likras kala. If it's so much water, then one can make hatov ameitiv, maimavarch. What exactly is the nusach habracha? Am Rav Yehuda of Rav said Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav. Moedim anach l'cha Hashem l'keinu. We thank you, Hashem. I'll call tipa v'tipa for every drop of rain, sherada talona, that you brought down for us from Shemaim. Rav Yochanan m'sayim b'achi. Rav Yochanan ended with the following words, which are taken from Nishmas, and this becomes like a kitzer of Nishmas that we say on Shabbos and Davening. Ilu finu mole shirik hayom l'shenein urinu kamen galov. If our mouths were full of song, and like the sea, like the vast oceans, and our tongues were full of joy, like the waves, on until Al Yazvenu Rachamecha Hashem Elokeinu V'lo Yazavunu, you have not forsaken us, your mercy has not forsaken us, Hashem Baruch Roiv Haidois. Blessed are you who you give us, it would seem that we're saying, you give us most of the things that we need to thank you for. Most of our thanksgivings. Ask the Gemara. Hashem gives us roiv oidois. He gives us most of the things that we should thank Hashem for. V'loi kol oidois. He doesn't give us everything, as we say in the davening in the morning, in the birch sashachar, osali kol tzarki. Whatever I need, Hashem provides for me. Everything is from Hashem. What do you mean roiv? Don't say roiv oidois, Ema. Keloi does, the Rabbeinu Shlomo Vaidos, everything that we deserve to praise Hashem for is given to us by Hashem. On Rapapa, Rapapa said that once we already have these two girses in the bracha, one is Roy Vaidos and one is Keloi does, therefore, as we turn to the Zayin Amud Aleph, Nem Rinu Letarvayo, let us say both of them. Keloi dois, you Hashem are the God of all thanksgivings. V'roiv ha'idois, as Rashi explains, that now the word roiv takes on a different meaning. Without keloi dois, einachanami, as the Gemara asked before, is Hashem only the God of most of our thanksgivings? Isn't he of all of our thanksgivings? But that's only if you have roiv ha'idois without keloi dois. But once you say keloi dois, that everything comes from Hashem, that we have to be mishabeach and thank Hashem for everything, then what is the meaning of roiv ha'idois? Explains Rashi, b'marbis ha'idois. There's a multiplicity of ha'idois. There is so much ha'idois that you have done things that you have done for us that we have to thank you for, because you are the keloi dois. And Rashi says that this is similar to what we say in Yishtabach, Kael Melech Godol Batishbochois, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is exalted with praises, and then we say Keloi Doi. So there, of course, Godol doesn't mean in any sense Roiv, a majority. It means he's great, he's exalted. And because he is the Keloi Doi, so too, that's the meaning of Keloi Doi, V'Roiv Adoi. Not the, he's the source of the majority of Adoi, but he is the source of all our Adoi, and he gives us Roiv B'Shefa with great amount. He gives us a multiplicity of hoidois. May we be zoiche to merit and see the roiv hoidois that the keloi does for us each and every day.